Daytime Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we're counting down our top five soap character assassinations. This is a topic suggested by our own beloved Mel.
Damn you, Mel.
It should be interesting, so stay tuned. Welcome.
Luker, hello.
Melody Akles, welcome.
Hey, hey.
You suggested the topic on Twitter when people were asking for top fives. I'm always willing to oblige top fives, and since I'm going to be out of town for the next week and a half, figured we'll record a couple of them so that people will still have podcasts while I'm gone. Who do you have at number five for your top five character assassinations?
I'm sorry, people. I swear only Luke and I are the only ones that like to do top fives. Everyone else just hates it. But hey, it's fun and I like them. And this is what happens when I'm on Twitter at like 2 in the morning tweeting Young the Restless. Ooh. Anywho.
The bigger question is what am I doing on Twitter reading your timeline?
Oh, really, Luke? Really?
I don't know what I'm doing up at 2 a.m.
I mean, who knows?
I should be in bed. I'm getting old.
Heaven knows. Okay, anyways, number five for character assassinations. I had to go with Rosanna Cabot from As the World Turns. I loved this character in the early 2000s. You know, she had control of Cabot Motors. She was in this relationship with Craig, but with Paul. Just total, you know, bitch on heels. Did what she wanted. She was amazing. And then,
badass.
Then it all went wrong. She left the show a couple of times, came back, and every time she would come back, they would just neuter her more and more. And by the end of the show, she was singing in a field with a guitar. I have no idea what happened to my Rosanna Cabot that I fell in love with in the early 2000s. So for all of that, and they took Cabot Motors away from her, and they made her broke. She was in a coma, drooling. I just literally could not. So that's my number five, Rosanna Cabot.
Jillian, who do you have at number five?
My number five is Carly Manning from Days of Our Lives. I know that Crystal Chappelle wanted her to be more like Olivia, but it's like, darling, you should have left well alone. What made you fire was the Wuthering Heights-esque portrayal of Carly when she was with Lawrence. I did not like it when she came back. I did not like that at all. I do not like that green eggs and all that hemming and hawing. It was terrible. You know, I get that she wanted Carly to have spunk, but she, to me, it was just like Olivia with a lab coat. You know, aristocratic Olivia. I did not like it at all. I just thought it was terrible. And she was a beloved pillar of the community in the town. And when Bo and Hope broke up, they made it seem like she just came in there, sashayed, and was like, you know, bumping, you know, some salt and pepper, and was like, I'm going to take your man. It wasn't even like that. And for everybody to be all hating on her, no, I just did not like that at all. That storyline could have been told 10 times better if they had the town divided, if they had, you know, the Horton side divided on, you know, that's Hope, man. Bitch. Or the Brady side saying, yeah, but she, you know, bro, you know, she mended our boy's heart when this gal was gone and she was off playing Princess Gina, whatever. It could have been really epic, and instead it was just terrible, and they just made Carly this person that nobody seemed to recognize. Her going into shimmy shakes over, who was it, Daniel? Was it Daniel that she was, yeah, taking the smack over Daniel. I'm like, Bo laid it down on Carly, but she never did all that for him when she lost him. Like, it was just terrible, and you know, if they ever bring her back, which I seriously doubt after that book Miss Thang wrote, hey, Crystal, no. You know, if by some chance they're able to put water under the bridge and bring her back, I hope they retweak that character and make her what she was before. They should have never made her Olivia 2.0 in Salem. So that's my pick.
Coming in at number five for me is also someone from As the World Turns. And this is a character that I always greatly appreciated, because she was a little bit wicked, but much like what happened to Rosanna, thank you for bringing up Rosanna, by the way.
Yeah,
she was one of my favorite characters, and what they did to her in the last days was not great. I have to go with Barbara Ryan having to talk to a clown because that was so painful. And I was like, what do you do to have to get locked in a closet and talk to a clown as the show is coming to an end? I mean, it's just terrible. I don't even, Barbara Ryan was such a dynamic character. Her rivalry with Carly was one of the things that got me hooked on the show when I first started watching it.
In 2000.
Well, regardless of when it started, it was one of those things where she was always such a dynamo character. And she goes out basically spending most of the last of her time on the show with a clown. And it's not how I wanted to think of Barbara Ryan's final days in Oakdale as the show was wrapping. So that final days, months, weeks, whatever you want to call it. So that's why I have her at number 5. Mel, who do you have at number 4?
Number 4, I'm going to the Young and the Restless here. Victoria used to be Newman.
Ooh, say it! Good
I
one.
Just...
Mel, I think there's a reason why you and I like these top fives, because she was my number 4 too.
All right.
So,
I'll just cover it all at once. I've been watching this show literally since birth, people. Okay, so work with
just
me here.
2 days
Victoria.
Ago,
shut up, Dylan. Victoria, played by the amazing Heather Tom, was just a phenomenal character. You know, she was just like her father, stubborn and hard-headed, but she had this drive and determination that she was going to respect her, respect what she did, and she was going to get the job done. That was the Victoria Newman I knew. She wouldn't take no crap from nobody. Her hair always looked fabulous. She always looked fabulous. How you doing, Amelia? But it was amazing, okay? So when things didn't work out contract-wise, what have you, and we had to recast Victoria Newman with Amelia Hindley, the character took a drastic change. I mean, and I know that happens every time you're going to switch an actress with a character, but this change was not for the better. All of a sudden, Victoria is with Brad, and she's kind of this pushover, and
kind of
she is a pushover. She's a pushover now, and you know, she's not very strong in the boardroom anymore, if she's ever in the boardroom, and all of a sudden she kind of doesn't want to be a part
she
of Newman
in
Enterprises.
She is in the boardroom. We're talking about she is in the board, as in we are
yes.
bored watching
boredom
boredom room. She doesn't want a part of Newman Enterprises anymore. She just wants to sit around and try to have babies, and I just fall asleep every time she's on. And this is Victor Newman's daughter. Victor Newman's daughter. And I couldn't tell by watching this show today.
He has said on several occasions, not to cut you off, but yeah. He has said on several occasions, we're not just saying that, Victor has always said, out of all of my children, you have been the one that is so close to me,
mm-hmm.
because you are just like me. So when, you know, whenever she would go against him, it would hurt him to the core. Not because his daughter was going against him, but obviously that's one reason, but the one that was just like him, mm-hmm. who would always defend him, even when the whole town would be like, your dad's a son of a bitch, and she'd be like, look, God damn it. And she would just toe check people. She's been the one that is just like him. And now it's just like, Victor needs to be like, I need to do a DNA test.
I can't even tell the similarities between these characters anymore. So what was once a strong female character has turned into a pushover. It's
limp noodle.
Limp noodle. There you go. It's a sad, sad situation. The character Victoria Newman right now on The Young and the Restless, and I want her to be recasted so bad.
And the thing is it's not just one regime. It's not like one regime
they
just came in and gutted her and assassinated the character. every single regime has contributed to it, but in my mind, the problem with Victoria rests solely on Hinley's shoulders.
Yeah.
Because as far as I'm concerned, it has been character assassination since 2005 when she arrived.
We can all blame regimes about certain things, but they've all tried. I mean, you do have to wag your finger at Maria because she wanted to make Victoria this bohemian chic chick who didn't care about money. And it's like, what you talking, Willis? Yeah. That's all. She's not all about money, but Victoria's all about business. She wasn't all into this artsy fartsy crap. Like, I get that that was Maria's passion, and it still is, but that wasn't Victoria's passion. So certain things you cannot, what's going on in your life, you can't translate on canvas with her. I mean, but yeah, at the end of the day, you can't always blame the regime. They need to sit down and be like, okay, who's unemployed and who needs a J to the O to the B? Who could do this shit?
There's any number of people.
Sarah Brown, but she and Jill don't get along. So
Tamara Braun,
Gina Tognoni.
Yeah, but she's an East Coast chick. She a New Yorker.
Hell, I hate to bring it up because I hadn't even planned to bring her up on this podcast, but Rebecca Budig could do it.
No, sir. No, we are shut roots down. No, she cannot.
Jillian, who do you have at number four?
Shoot, as much as Amelia get on my nerve, look, I put it out there. I'd rather see her than Rebecca. No, sir, no, ma'am. The day I see her pop up doing that, I will be too bad. My number four is Dr. Tony Jones from General Hospital. The moment he entered Carly's orbit, it was like, Brad Maul, game over for you. Yes, Tony's affair with Carly led to epic storytelling and the fallout for it, from Tony thinking that baby Michael was his, to him kidnapping Robin, to Jason just shattering the shit out of his hand. Ooh, that was some good shit. That was epic storytelling. It was brilliant how the layers, once you peeled back the layers, it was brilliant. However, Tony never was the same again. Tony went so far, there was nothing that you could do with him. I mean, Tony would have never done what he did with Robin. I mean, I thought, I knew Tony was desperate, but for him to be like, hey, Robin, have some Sudafed, this girl has that's what he pretty much did! Girl, Mel, that's what he pretty much did. Well, Luke didn't watch it back then, but when Robin found out that Tony had snatched Michael up, she tried to stop him, but Tony took her. He took her when she didn't have her HIV medication, her protocol. And back then, protocol, it still is now, but back then, protocol was everything. If Robin didn't take it at 12, if she took it at 12:01, it was curtains. And Tony was like, I'll get you some medicine. I just need to get far away with Michael. And she was like, Tony, come on. Tony was like watching this girl wither away. And I had a huge problem with that. Not only because Tony watched that girl grow up, Tony is a doctor. The Hippocratic Oath is do no harm. His ass literally went out and got some cold medicine because she started to develop pneumonia and was like, here. And I was like, are you serious? Did he just give her some damn DayQuil? It was just insane. But then when my Jason came in there and saved the day and grabbed Tony's hand and shattered that shit with the butt of that shotgun, oh, it was epic storytelling. And the fallout afterwards when Helena got him off so he could be her bitch. It was beautiful storytelling, but after the dust settled with that, Tony was never the same on GH. He was a pariah, and slowly but surely, Brad Maul was never... He never got front burner story again. He started to wither away. They would pop him up here and there, and then, the damn monkey flu that Luke stankin' ass brought back to GH years later killed Tony off. Out of all the shit, killed Tony off, a friggin' monkey. I was so mad at that. They totally obliterated his character, and I was kind of sad. I really would have wished that they had found a way to redeem Tony, just how they told a beautiful storyline of him and his downward spiral and those who were surrounded and touched by it, were affected by Tony's downward spiral. I would have liked for them to show how he redeemed himself. And GH just, they just missed the boat on that. They just decided, we don't know what to do with Tony, so we're going to kill him off. And that was kind of foul. Not kind of, it was foul. I was really disappointed in that. So that's my number four.
Well, because Mel's basically said everything that I could possibly say about Victoria, we'll go on to number three. Mel?
My number three, got to take it back to my home, y'all. We're going back to Guiding Light. Philip.
I was going to say Texas. Okay.
Philip.
Dallas.
Spalding. Okay, Alan Spalding Sutter. You know, that gets a little, you know, rough in there, but that's another story. Anyways, yeah. Philip Spalding, my number three. I love this character. He was always kind of a strong, anti-tragic hero character until about, oh, I don't know, early 2000, 2003, 2004, where he just started losing his mind. It didn't make any sense. You know, this was right around Guiding Light started to get rid of all their vets systematically, and the show just went insane. Anywho, Philip ended up being in a relationship with Olivia. And she got pregnant, but she fell down some stairs, and then Philip started. Yeah, Lizzie.
I was going to say, now, I wasn't, you know, I was on and off of God Light, but I do know that Lizzie shoved her ass down the stairs. What you mean she fell? Girl.
I'm protecting my Lizzie here, okay?
Lizzie shoved her ass down them stairs.
It's a sacred cow.
Oh, fuck all that noise. Lizzie would have gotten a shoe on that ass. I would have taken off my fucking Jimmy Choo and whooped her ass for that.
She ended up down a flight of stairs, Lizzie, bad Lizzie. And Philip loses his mind, and he ends up, I remember the story was like, Philip was stalking some pregnant woman that he thought was Olivia, but it wasn't. And then Philip ends up kidnapping all the children in Springfield. Say what? It was one of those stories where you're watching it and you're just like, what has happened to my character? Why is Philip stalking random pregnant women? And why is he kidnapping his own children? I don't understand what's happening. And then he ends up in some mental hospital and we don't hear from him for a long time, and towards the end of the show they brought him back and redeemed him somewhat in my eyes, but they could have lost that red hoodie. But yeah, for all of that Guiding Light did to Philip Spalding,
the red hoodie in the snow,
right, for all of that they did, they get my number three Philip Spalding character assassination.
Jillian?
My number three is also from Guiding Light, and that is Harley.
That's my number
Davidson
two.
Cooper.
Oh.
I'm sorry, but the Harley that I knew, she wouldn't have just been counting her bills and then be like, Phillip's coming. Gotta go. I gotta go with Gus's kid. What? Have a say what now? Harley was from the hood. Harley, them Coopers knew how to take care of their own. So that was just beyond what? What? And Harley and Phillip, I was a Farley fan.
I liked them. Yeah, they were good.
I was a Farley. You know, I hate that squish theme. I was a Philip and Harley fan. Sounds like somebody about to fart or something. But I was a Philip and Harley fan. And they had that bond there. Philip, she could have talked some sense into Philip when she thought he was coming for her kid. But for her to abandon all of her tribe of children just to protect Gus's kid, that was just like, Ellen Wheeler say, what now? What were y'all thinking? Harley was also, we knew Harley was from the wrong side of the tracks, but she also wasn't stupid when it came to money. I'm pretty sure that those child support checks that she was getting was paying her guap. She was getting a little fortune there. For her to be sitting there and, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. And she was like the only cop in Springfield, wasn't she? Or it was somebody else. I don't know.
It was her and a couple people, but we were all, you know, she had a kid with Philip Spalding and she had a kid with Rick Bauer, the doctor. And you want me to believe she can't pay her bills?
She had Gus's. Gus was a Spalding. Philip was a Spalding. Mm-hmm. She got knocked up by a Bauer. Harley had money. Them Bowers have long dollars.
She had multiple.
Yes.
child support and checks to cash.
Didn't she also, I know she married Alan Michaels so he could break his trust fund. Didn't she get some money from him for doing that?
Lord, I can't remember. I feel like she did, but I can't remember.
I can't remember.
But love will save the world.
You know? Shut up.
Yeah, but it will not pay your bills. How about
apparently,
that?
Apparently, and that was just serious character assassination. Harley was all about family, and for her to just be like, fuck the mother babies. Let's go Gus's kid. What? I just had a serious problem with that, and that's why I kept checking in and out of Guiding Light when it was about to be, when it was about to send it to the upper room. I was so mad at that. Ugh. Gross.
Coming in at number three for me is Bianca Montgomery during the Zarf period. We had a fantastic performance by Eden Regal as Bianca during her coming out storyline, the lesbian romances, but the big blemish on Bianca's time on All My Children, at least in my opinion, was the Zarf storyline. I never believed for a second that a woman who's a lesbian is going to fall in with love with a man who then is becoming a woman.
Well, I mean, Luke, it does happen.
I'm sure it does, but to me as a viewer and my skepticism, having seen what soaps do for many of the characters, the gay characters, to me, it was like, okay, we're going to introduce a gay character, and then we're going to give them an opposite sex relationship of some sort in order to make this less quote-unquote undesirable to certain viewing demographics. And so for me, watching Bianca and Zarf was like a giant cop-out on the part of All My Children, and I think that in my opinion, it damaged the character. Now, other people may not agree, but I think it did.
I would say when she had Zach's baby behind her sister's back, that was character assassination
But I don't think that's as bad
what?
As Zarf.
No! Yes, that is! The Zarf thing, I mean, it does happen. You do see... I was watching a documentary. It's so funny that you bring that up because I remember watching this documentary on HBO. It's called Southern Comfort. It's about this man who was a woman. His name was Robert. He was from the mountains of Georgia, and he was transitioning into being a man, but still had his female parts. He still had a vagina, and He was the thing that happened. The sad thing was Robert developed ovarian cancer, and it could have been treated, but doctors didn't want to treat it because they were like, I don't want this shit around here, which was fucked up. But anyways, let me finish. But what I'm saying is during the documentary, you see that Robert, who was a woman, who's a man now, fall in love with a man who wants to become a woman. So it does happen. I don't think that was character assassination per se. I just think that was whoever was the writer at the time, they wanted to see, we ain't never seen Bianca with a man before. Let's test the waters with this. But let's play fast and loose. You know, Zarf's a man, but want to be a woman. So the lesbians won't come after us. GLAAD won't come after us.
But the lesbians did go after them. Because it wasn't, the fact of the matter was there were a lot of people who were not happy about that storyline because they did find it offensive.
I never said that the lesbians won. I'm saying that that's in their mind. They were trying to be fast and loose, trying to be like, you know, we're going to test her with this boy, but he wants to be a woman, so she's still a lesbian. You know, that was them trying to play fast and loose. Shut up, Mel. That was them trying to play fast and loose, and it blew up in their face. If you had said her having Zach's baby behind Kendall, now I'd have been like, okay, I got your back with that there, because that was total character assassination.
I just try to forget about Zach when it comes to All My Children. But for me, having followed and been like right there behind Bianca for pretty much her entire storyline up to the Zarf point, it was like what happened with Zarf totally seemed out of character for her. at the time, and I still think it did looking back. I mean, that's just my opinion. Mel, who do you have at number two?
My number two was Jillian's number three, Harley Davidson Cooper from Guiding Light. For everything that Jillian said, it is just dumb to Harley. She can't pay her bills. She can't remember her children.
Can't pay your bills. Exactly. You can't. I'm like, what are you, Destiny's Child? What is
doesn't
this?
Remember, but she gonna take care of Gus's little baby for some heifer she don't even like. It's stupid. And then, you know, the whole thing with Marina, y'all know it's a soft spot for me, but... You know, she stole her niece's man. Would Harley Cooper ever do that? Really? Come on, people. I don't believe that. I don't like what y'all did to that character.
Her niece also stole, messed around with her aunt's leftovers. So,
oh, she's
a little... They're a little nasty up in that Cooper
family. She was. She was trying to get attention. But at least she was young and not, you know, Harley's age. Anywho.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But everything Jillian said, Harley Davidson Cooper, and then they didn't even redeem her before the show was over. So it makes sense.
Okay. Jillian?
My number two is Victoria Newman from The Young and the Restless. Look, I understand you're writing to someone's strengths, but there are different ways that you can do it. Victoria, it's been solidified. It has been written into the fucking pages. That is like the 11th commandment. Thou shalt not fuck with this character here who is like her daddy. It has been written, Bill Bell cemented it, that this girl, even though she was a female, she was... The boy that she is, the child that Victor needs, but she's a female. She started from the mailroom to prove to her daddy that she can get it together and do and take over the company. When he kept saying, you know, it's for your brother, she went out there and proved to her father that she is just like him, and he would always say it. It was always said Nicholas was just like his mother with the, you know, with the soft touch. He was a hoe like his daddy.
He was a mama's boy.
He was a mama's boy, but he was a hoe like his daddy. And Victoria was a shrewd businesswoman, cutthroat businesswoman, like her daddy, but was like her mother with, like, I guess, beauty-wise, I guess? So...
Oh. I love the giant question mark at the end of that.
I'm just saying that that's why they solidified it. I'm not trying. You trying to start some shit? Look, y'all don't take it to the house here. You take it to Luke because I'm not.
Send
don't
your
do that.
Hate mail to Luke Kerr.
Yeah, don't you do it because I'm not. I will send you back with 1995 shipping and handling. No, but it's been cemented. Victor has always said it. Out of all of my children. You are the one just like me. When Victoria, I think when she, was it when she went to court? When she went to court, either when she was taking over Jabot or she went to court for that $3 billion, for the $1 billion they were suing Victor for, he said, out of all of my children, you are the one that is closest to me. You are the one that's just like me. So for her to be all daffy, and not wanting to take her rightful place into Newman Enterprises is bullshit. I understand, you know, we know that girl going head to head against Michael Muni is the joke. It's like, he's probably like there filing his fingernails, you know, brushing his hair, being like, oh, you finished acting?
Can't you just see him flicking that over his shoulder after he's done and waiting for her to,
you know,
appear?
Or he's probably like, you know, when she's done, he's probably like, oh, shit, you finished. Oh, okay, I didn't even know you started. You know, I'm sorry. She's not strong enough. Write something strong enough for her or get another actress. Look, I don't wish no one no ill will about their job, but, you know, when you have different regimes come in and it's the same thing and you try to write her a different way so you can write to her strengths, that's character assassination right there. You should not be doing that. You should tell this girl, you should sit her down and say, look, study Heather Tom's tapes. Study her tapes over at B&B Now. This is what you are supposed to be like. You are Victor fucking Newman's child. You are his firstborn. You are the one that he's always been the closest with because you are shrewd just like him. Learn it, study it, snort it, drink it, pop it in your vein, whatever. And if she cannot cut the mustard, you tell her, look, darling, we've given you damn near 10 years to get it together, and you can't get it together. It's time for you to go, and y'all need to call some chicks who aren't working to saddle up. I'm sorry. She's just not doing it. When they had her, you know, going after, I mean, Victoria has a habit of going after her mama's leftovers, but when she started being into all this artsy fartsy thing, yeah, and she's all the way in Italy teaching some crumb snatching kids, and
And not only that, but let's just think about something for a second. Imagine if it was Heather Tom that was blackmailing Chelsea.
Oh shit! Man. Oh my god! I'm gonna go here. I think Missy Clegg will be like, "Damn, bitch! I got to bow down to you. Chelsea got to do what you make her say to do." I think Missy would probably forget, break character, and be like, "Chelsea, better do what you say, because Heather Tom would destroy." Can you imagine her and Lizzie Hendrickson in a scene? Lizzie is a firecracker. When Victoria's going head to head against, you know, Chloe, that would be epic. You know, I sat and I watched the you know, when that girl came in that coffee shop, "You better be telling Chloe to stay away from my husband." I was like, that unborn baby that Chelsea got for Adam is probably like, "I am bored, mama. I'm bored. Go. Let's go." Shit. It's not working out. They've tried to write this character over 17 times so they can fit her strengths, and it's not working. I saw little pockets when Colleen was around, when Billy first came, Billy Miller came to the show, and Billy Abbott just came back, when she ho-checked Colleen, when she was a member of the board member at Newman. I thought, okay, she has it, but then, you know, Tam and Sir sucked before they clipped her wings. She started to come into her own, and she shut it down. And I was like, oh, that's all, folks. I'm sorry, this girl is just not doing it. It's terrible. They've destroyed the character of Victoria Newman. The only way they can redeem it is by recasting that girl and making her a super bitch, taking her.
And someone at Y&R in the writing team needs to go watch Bold and Beautiful.
I think the director there needs to also, I got to blame the director, but in a way it's not his fault, because you can only do, you know, if your subject is not strong enough, I mean, what else do you want them to do? But you need to pull her aside and say, "Look, baby girl, you need to watch your predecessor."
Mm-hmm. At some point, they need to get What's-Her-Name to come in and go, "You are the weakest link." Coming in at number two for me is Erica Kane during the unabortion.
How is that character assassination?
Undoing Erica Kane's abortion in order to bring in a character that was supposed to have been killed off as a fetus. And then what transpired by how they tried to integrate him into the family and all the other stuff. I was so pissed off at All My Children at that point. And it was one of the things that's like, I just can't logically accept that this is happening to Erica Kane, and that you are bringing this now 20, 30, whatever he was at the time, character into this show. You just messing with that kind of history and doing it. It was like character history assassination to Erica Kane. So for me, that was number two.
Now, if you had said, now, I don't see that being character assassination for Erica. I think that's show assassination right there. If you had said the character assassination of All My Children, I would have backed you on that, because that has nothing to do. I mean, it does, but Erica didn't say, "I lied, I had my egg chilling over here, y'all." No, I mean, that's not Erica. That was the show assassination with that. You need to put that at Megan McTavish feet. Erica Kane may slap the shit out of you with her fur coat and be like, "I'm Erica Kane, bitch.
Megan be trash."
Right. Now, if you had said, now I thought you was going to take it old school, but then I know you a newer viewer. I thought you were going to go old school and say character assassination with Erica when she made Maria think that Maddie was dead but was raising that girl as Sonia. Now that was character assassination to the 10th power. So much so that Susan Lucci said that was the only time she got hate mail so hard. And All My Children was like, oh shit. And they had to rewrite that joint. But I don't think that was Erica's character assassination with the unabortion thing. I think that was so.
See, I think they assassinated that character in a sense by having that unabortion done. That's just my opinion. People can agree or disagree. I just think it was.
I mean, if it was a situation where it was revealed that Erica knew that kid was alive and she lied to whomever, was it Tom? I think Tom, maybe it was Tom, I don't know. She had so many damn husbands, shit, I don't know how she keep it straight. But if it was a situation where she lied and had that kid somewhere else, then I would have been agree with you. But I thought, I mean, I get with you with it being an assassination, but not to Erica. I think to the show and to that entire storyline, because that was such a groundbreaking moment for someone on soaps to say, look, man, I had an abortion because this kid was getting in my way of me trying to be a 5-foot supermodel.
Mel, who do you have at number one?
Do we all have the same number one? I'm just curious.
I have a suspicion that we do.
Well, mine is Sharon Collins, yes. Newman, Abbott, yep. Newman, whatever else other last name she didn't
Newman,
have.
Newman.
Yeah, Newman, Newman. On the Newman. Young and the Restless. This character, you know, she... In the beginning, she was a girl from the other side of town, the wrong side of the tracks. And, you know, she got raped by Matt Clark. She had a baby. Her and Nick end up falling in love. It's actually one of my favorite couples, you know, of all time is Sharon and Nick. Before, not now. Anyways. And, you know, I liked Sharon. I did. But the first time they assassinated Sharon's character, in my opinion, is when she ran out on Cassie and Noah. Y'all remember that back in the day?
Yeah.
Anybody? Yeah.
I remember that.
That was the first time I was like, Sharon would never leave her children. All that work she did, her and Nick and Grace did, to get Cassie back so they could be a family, and you want me to believe that Sharon is going to run out on her family? No. No, Young and the Restless,
no. Some penis.
Exactly.
Some penis.
No.
You know, a lot of people be like, you know, but see, a lot of people, you know, when I say that, a lot of people come up with the, well, that was contract negotiations. I'm like,
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. But we're like, I know that it was contract negotiations, darling. I know what, you forget what about where I work at. I work for DC. I know what I know. But there was a better way to write Sharon's ass off.
Yes, it was. Not just to have her run out and don't nobody, you know, with her penis over there. And
yeah.
He can't get in touch with her and he can't find her. And all of a sudden, you know, she come back in Cassie's life and Cassie don't want nothing to do with her, which I can understand. But she's trying to make up the things. And then... I remember her and Nikki, well, she killed, what was his name? Lyndon Ashby's character,
Cameron.
Yeah. Remember they killed him and then stuck him in a ditch somewhere? I'm like, what is going on? What is happening?
He was the one who beat Sharon like a drum. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a problem with that story. And then, you know, recently Sharon's throwing people in volcanoes now. And now she's on the run and she got to dye her hair and with some random man in a farm. And, oh, Sharon's now in love with Victor Newman and let's just have them be together. And wait a minute, let's have Sharon steal too while we're at it. And, oh, and up now she's been switching sperm like she Ashley Abbott or something. Like, it just, I don't understand what they're trying to do with this character anymore. I don't even think they know what to do with Sharon anymore. They're just like, let's just put all these ideas in a hat and pull them out. And as we pull them out, let's just add them to the story as we go. It leaves me speechless what has happened to this character. I have never wanted a character to have a brain tumor so bad because it would explain her actions, because that's the only way this character is going to get out of the corner it's been written in, a brain tumor or death.
I don't want them to kill her off. I mean, you've damn near said what I was going to say. I mean, when they had Sharon run off and leave her children, her sick child, because wasn't one of them sick? That was a moment. That was number one. Number two was when they had her kiss Victor around that time, too.
Remember that.
That was number two. Victor was someone who she looked up as a father figure. Mm-hmm. She was the little scrappy girl that Victor paid for her mother to get that surgery. And he was like, don't worry about that. You know, that's pocket change. I got this. And she was like, no, I am going to pay your ass back. I ain't trying to get no handout. She impressed Victor. Every week she would come with her little bit of money and come to Victor and be like, here you go. that was, you know, she was that scrappy girl. Then when they had her, let's see, when they had her mauling Brad's face, that was another, huh, moment. Then when they had her messing with Jack, that was a what moment? That man practically raised you too. Shit. That was a what moment? Then when they had her, look, I know so-called Shaddam, Sharon and Adam fans will try, and I told you, I'll send you back with shipping and handling. Look, when they had Sharon fall in love with the man that stole her baby, I mean, she didn't know, but Sharon, one thing about Sharon is that no matter what Victor did, she would be there with Victoria, backing Victoria up. When the town would be against Victor, Nikki included, and Nick included, she'd be like, Nick, that is your daddy. You back him. When Adam did all those things that she knew about, and then she decided to fall in love with him, and it was only because she married Adam because she was lonely. It was like, what? Then they made up this storyline where Sharon was stealing because it was because of some stress because she put her mama in the wheelchair. It's like, really? Then they had her, you know, then they had her run off and leave Faith. That was the child that you fought tooth and nail to get back. That was the child that you fought tooth and nail for. You mean to tell me you're gonna run off and leave her? That was the child that you always said that Cassie
Preach.
spoke about before she kicked the bucket. But you gonna leave that child because you think everybody was better off without you? And then you want to fight Nick because you want to be with Adam, the same man that stole your baby? And then, now this shit right here, this does not make any sense with Sharon going after Phyllis. Phyllis, who is in a committed relationship with Jack. Phyllis, who is in love with Jack. It would have made sense if Avery was pregnant and she switched the DNA test to make it look like it was Dylan's, and so she could get her man back. This did not make any sense. Sharon was all about family. Sharon didn't care. You know, Sharon started to accept little summer, winter, spring, summer, fall. I was about to call her Summer's Eve, child. What to call that girl Summer's Eve? You know, I'm sorry. This is just ridiculous storytelling to the 10th power. Sharon would have never married Victor.
Never.
Never, ever. Like when they did it the first.
Ever, ever.
When they did it the first time last year, Christmas, Sharon looked skeeved out, like, ugh, Victor, what the hell are you talking? This is ridiculous. And for her to be like, when she married him and want to take over Newman, Sharon never wanted to take over Newman. Sharon was quite happy being a spokesmodel, doing the makeup, you know, sitting home, raising them kids, and collecting that check that she would get from all of her husbands. This is just ridiculous. This is another thing also. If you don't know what to do with her, it's not Sharon's, and see, in this instance, it's not Sharon Case's that's the weakest link. Sharon Case brings it.
Yeah,
It
Sharon's.
is this, yeah, it will go, no, go ahead, what'd you say?
I would just say, I'm like, yeah, Sharon's good. It's not the actress in this day. The
It's
actress is good, and she's always been good. It's the
In
writer.
fact, she's one of the only things that sometimes even salvages her.
Right, it is the writing. Maria started her down this path of destruction, and Josh kept, you know, y'all really don't need to do no interviews. Y'all really need to, when someone comes, I want to interview, y'all need to mute yourselves. Y'all need to be like, nope, I'm not going to, because you will have people like us to bring that shit back up and to throw it up in your face. Because Maria said she was going to make Sharon strong. That lasted for 2 episodes, and Sharon was back to her weak, sniveling self. Josh said he was going to make Sharon strong and independent. The only thing I see strong is Sharon's reflex muscles, her gag muscles, and her Kegel muscles. That's the only thing I see strong with Sharon and her headboard. I'm sorry. This is not the Sharon that I grew up with. This is not the Sharon that other people started to fall in love with. She was a heroine. You're making her into some sick and twisted villain. And the same thing with Nick, but, you know. We'll get back to that, never. But this is all about Sharon. I'm sorry. We're all on the same page here. Sharon Newman would have never, ever, ever, ever do any of
Ever,
this.
ever.
No, stop it. She would not do this shit. The volcano thing, I don't fault her with that, because if some hoe trying to drag me down in a volcano, she get chucked in a volcano too. It's gonna be
but
me or her.
On a volcano.
What's on a volcano in the first place?
Now, if I know, if you get close to a volcano, you're supposed to singe up. She's supposed to at least have a tan. She's supposed to be my complexion. She came out looking fresh and all dewy. I'm like, what is this shit? I'm sorry. Like, Josh really needs to sit down and realize I really fucked up. Mm-hmm. I'm no better than Maria with this, and write this broad strong again. You know, I'm hearing rumblings that, you know, spoiler alert, that it's because of her medication that she's been acting this way. I'm like, once again, you bring a socially conscious storyline to the forefront and make a joke of it. She's supposed to have bipolar disorder. You mean to tell me once you go off your meds, you go switch DNA tests?
God, just give her a brain tumor and call it a day. Give
and
a
see, the thing is brain tumors are one of those things that I never like to see in soaps because it's the cheapest of excuses. But
we all
for Sharon,
want it.
Yeah, it might be necessary.
Brain tumor, have Nick nurse her back to life. Do whatever.
You
just
know what? I got a good idea.
No, you have Adam nurse her back to life.
No. No,
I like Adam and Sharon better than Nick and Sharon.
You also like Greenlee, and we don't give a fuck about that neither. No.
That's fine, but I still rather have Adam with her back.
This is the story, Jill. I'm ready.
Shut up, Luke. This is the story. Now you can say she have a brain tumor. Remember when they tried to do the North by Northwest when she got flooded by that crop duster? How about the effects of that mess combined with her medication started to create a tumor in her head? Bam. Okay. She got
there
brain
you go. You could do the when she got crop dusted, it could have caused her to get a brain tumor.
You know, and
it might actually play on history and somehow.
You know, and we don't, and she does not have bipolar. It was misdiagnosed. It was because of that crop dusting.
I mean, if they Days of Our Lives, if they could go back and explain Lexi's like killable, what ended up killing her illness on being trapped in the things underneath Salem. They could do that with Sharon.
We'll take it because I feel like we all want to have a brain tumor so it'll excuse her accent so she can stay alive because we want to keep Sharon on this show. I really do. I want Sharon to stay. So that's why I'm suggesting this brain tumor so she can get through it and get back to being the Sharon I used to love.
Look at here now, Ron and Frank. If y'all don't have, I don't know if y'all are going to kill off Connie Kate. I don't know anything. Hearing rumblings that they may. But don't kill her off. You know, make it look like she died. If why not don't do right by Sharon, I could see her playing Connie Kate.
I thought that too.
She'd be bitching. Shut up. She would be bitching.
She would be good.
Oh
she
my God.
It.
She would be bitching as Connie Kate.
Sharon Case could do it. I could.
Ooh,
I could.
And she and Maurice Bernard would sizzle. Ooh, they would sizzle.
I'm not denying they'd have chemistry, but why can't we bring her on as someone other than Connie Kate?
I'm just picking that out. Right about now.
I mean, I'm more than happy to have Sharon Case on General Hospital. Don't get me wrong. But we can bring her on something better. A better conceived character than Connie Kate.
Gosh, I'm saying Connie Kate because she used to play Monica's daughter Dawn on there. I'm just saying that. I don't want them to be like, Dawn's alive. No, because Dawn sucked as a character. I hated that girl. Ooh, hated her with 1,000 sons. I'm glad she's dead. Totally. She would kill us, Connie Kate, or hell, Ava Jerome's big sister.
I was thinking, like, yeah,
there
her sister.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine Maura West and Sharon Case as TV siblings?
My God.
I would love to see them doing schemes all around the town. Oh, that would be fabulous.
Ava and Eva. There you go. Eva Jerome. There you go. Why not? You need to do right by Sharon. Sharon Newman and Sharon Case, or someone else needs to snatch her up because this is just beyond fuckery right about now. What you're doing to her? I don't see how this is the strong Sharon that you guys were portraying. The only person who's supposed to be getting stronger is Dylan. He is getting stronger by getting more airtime that he can hog and eat up.
And that's just...
I'm sorry, y'all. They just got on my nerve, man.
Well, on that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com, add us as a friend on Facebook, and visit us on Twitter, or follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.